21. Amen. Wow. That's great. Did I hear something about donuts next week? And I've got to be gone next week to Idaho. Come on. Life's not fair. Anyway, thanks for your patience through these just really odd times that we have been in and are still in, frankly. But it's good to be in church on the first Sunday of this month, and I want to preach a message around the communion table. Communion proves the commitment. Communion proves the commitment. How many know that what we celebrated this morning together at the table of the Lord proves that Jesus was committed to die on the cross for us? Amen? That was his purpose. Even before the world began, the book of Revelation says the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. Jesus was born for that purpose, to come to the cross. He knew he would raise from the dead the third day, but he still had to be committed to the cross. The only moment that he wavered, and I don't even think it was a wavering, it was just a show of his humanity, was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, "Let this cup pass from me if it be possible. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He was committed to the cross, and communion is evidence of that. And we are participants of that commitment when we take communion every month. I can't think of a better way to start a new year than to have communion together as God's family. Amen? And recommit ourselves to following the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 16:3. I'd like to begin there. And then we'll quickly go to Psalms 55. I have a couple of different scriptures that I want to read in preparation for giving the remarks that I have today. And again, thank you all for being here. And I don't know if Eddie mentioned it. If you have an offering, the offering boxes are here. Thank you so much for your faithfulness through this year with not being able to have service and not being able to pass the offering bags. Your faithfulness in sending in your offerings by mail or tithely or on Sunday morning or dropping them off have made the difference in order for us to be able to take care of our obligations and our staff as well. And we are grateful. And for those who have given in a way that we are able to record, we'll have your tax-deductible receipts by the end of this month. So thank you. And I want to thank John Oval. He is our wonderful record keeper, very accurate, incredible, been here every day filling in. Sally's working from home now. John, yeah, thank you. Amen. We had planned this pre-COVID. We had planned for Sally to go part-time. She deserves it. She's worked hard all her life, and we felt like it was only right that we provide her a way to be able to have a little more free time. So when this happened, we just decided to work her at home. And so she has some more free time. She's semi-retired, but she still is the boss, is what she sent me a text the other day and said that. I am still your boss. And so anyway, we appreciate Sally, and she's working hard from home. And if you need her, don't hesitate, you know, to call or anything like that. But it has opened up the space for kids ministry, which we have really needed. So thank you. And thank you, Tyler and Jasmine, for being willing to take that up, and for Mark and Laura and your faithfulness setting the stage there. And Eddie was serious about the nursery. And so first we asked for volunteers, and then we come and start slaughtering lambs or sheep. So, you know, I think it'd be great for a couple, husband and wife, to say, look, we're retired, we have no more children at home, we have grandkids we see every now and then, we'd like to volunteer in the nursery. We can still get down on our, almost get down on our hands and knees and play with the kids. I think that'd be great. We have several couples, and I won't mention your names, but I might mention your names later if we don't get any volunteers. I volunteered one Sunday, it was really great, and then the kids voted 4-3 to not have me do it again. So anyway, Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. The word commit is a Hebrew word, or in the Hebrew, literally means to roll. To roll your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. We're talking about commitment and committing things to the Lord. A companion verse to this is found in Psalms 55:22. Psalms 55:22. Almost the same wording. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Commit to the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. Rolling the burden, rolling the works onto the Lord. Commitment, committing things to the Lord. I can't think of a better time to commit some things to the Lord than the beginning of a new year. And then thirdly, I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy 1:12. In the New Testament, we have the same sense. The only difference is that there's not as many words in the New Testament that means literally to roll the burden or roll your works on the Lord. But the word commitment is used a number of times. And in the Greek, not every time, but a number of times, the Greek word for commit is to entrust a treasure to someone. To entrust something that is of treasure to you, when you commit it, you're committing it to someone to guard for you. And I believe that's the case in 2 Timothy 1:12. And it reads this, and you'll recognize it, I'm sure, many of you. Paul the Apostle is speaking to Timothy, and he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things." Paul suffered immensely in his decision to follow Christ, as did Peter. And if you read the books of Peter later, you can scan them and find a number of things that Peter suffered for. And Peter said, if you suffer because you're a busybody, it's your own fault. If you suffer because you have done some evil things, that's your own fault. But if you suffer because you've done righteous things and good things for God, count it joy. Count it joy, because that suffering will be rewarded someday. And so here, verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless," I love that word, "nevertheless, I am not ashamed." How many are not ashamed to proclaim Jesus today? Amen? "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. "And I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have," what? "Committed," or entrusted to him until that day." I believe, I'm convinced that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Paul says, Timothy, I have entrusted, I have committed, I've entrusted something of a treasure to the Lord. And he is able to keep that until that day that I see him, that day when my work in this life is completed. As we look back on this last year, there's no question that it has been one of the most difficult, not the most difficult in my opinion, but one of the most difficult times for the church and for believers and for a nation and even non-believers. It has been difficult, and we're not out of it yet. We're still in the throes of it. Not only the pandemic and rioting and demonstrations in the streets that have turned ugly, and an election that is still contested, and on, you name it. We have had quite a year. And I've seen different interviews on the news where they've interviewed people just off the street. What do you think? And most all of them have said, boy, farewell, good riddance. I saw a little marker on my way to Grace Family this morning. Someone had put it on their yard. It was a gravestone. It says, "Rest in peace, 2020. And I thought, I don't even want it to rest in peace. I just want it to rest. Just get out of here, right? And yet we face a new year. And not everything is just going to be gone now. But I think if we had have known what we were going to be going through in 2020, back in January of last year, If we had have known, what would we have done differently? What would our government have done differently? What would our nation and the world have done differently? What would we as believers have done differently? Well, we made it through. We made it through, and we are making it through. And I believe that one of the keys to making it in difficult times, including what Paul said here, for this reason I suffer, the way you make it through is that you and I must commit some things to the Lord's. And what does that mean? What does that look like? That we commit some things to the Lord. I want to give you three quick glimpses into what I think are good things to commit to the Lord in this 2021 season that we're going into a new year. And we have no idea what this year will hold. We really don't. We know some things. We know some things. We know some things are going to remain kind of the same. Some things could get worse. Some things could get better. But we have no idea what this new year holds. But we know who holds us. Amen? We know Jesus holds us. He holds the church in the palm of his hand. He holds God's people in the palm of his hand. So we know that, and we have that confidence. And that's the encouraging part. The first thing I believe that we can commit to the Lord in this coming year is our prayers, both answered and unanswered. I believe that this last year we prayed a lot of prayers that God answered. I know I did. I know there were times this year where I prayed, Lord, it was like a 911 prayer. You know, how many know 911 prayers? You know, there's prayers, and then there's prayers, and then there's the 911 prayer. And I prayed a few of those, and I can give glory to God. To God be the glory, Randy. He came through. Praise the Lord. How about you? Amen? He came through. And yet there's some prayers that I have prayed that are yet to be answered. There's some prayers I prayed this last year. I'm still waiting. I'm still going, okay, Lord, I'm still waiting. And the Lord says, you know, I don't have a watch, so I don't associate with that. But there have been some disappointments this last year. But I have got to commit to the Lord all my prayers that I've prayed that were answered and all those that I'm still waiting for an answer. And how many know today God answers yes, he answers no, and he answers maybe, and he answers I will if you will, and he answers just wait a while. And some of you are in the wait a while stage where the Lord has said, I'm going to answer it, but I'm not going to do it right now because I'm working behind the scenes. Those have got to be committed to the Lord. Even the prayers that we prayed that did not get answered the way we wanted them to get answered, we were disappointed perhaps, but how many still believe our Heavenly Father knows best? He knows best for us. So even those prayers, we have to commit to the Lord and say, Lord, it's in your hands. Not my will, but yours be done. Those are the words of Jesus in Gethsemane, and those ought to be the words of God's people as well. So we commit to the Lord our prayers, both answered and unanswered. And with the unanswered prayers come disappointment. We have to commit our disappointment to the Lord. Now, I don't think anyone would just stand and go, yeah, that's me, I'm disappointed in God. Well, I'll tell you, I've been disappointed in God once in a while. It happens. Philip Yancey wrote an incredible book entitled Disappointment with God. It's okay to be disappointed with God. How many know God's big enough to handle that? But our disappointment, if we'll just commit it to the Lord, if we believe that he loves us and he has a good plans for us, even the disappointments we have with God can turn out to our good because we still believe in the passage that says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And we believe that until we put it to the test. And then we put it to the test, we go, man, I don't know. No, you can't waver on that. We've got to believe that all things do. Amen? And so there have been disappointments this last year for, I think, all of us probably in some way or another. And there may be disappointments coming up in 2021. But today is the day I think we can commit those to the Lord's. And just say, Lord, you deal with those. You give me strength. You give me peace. I'm going to cast my burden on the Lord. I'm going to put my works on the Lord. I'm going to roll them onto you. That very word in the Hebrew that means roll upon the Lord, it always reminds me of a boulder. I always see a boulder when I read that passage in Proverbs, and I think of just rolling a boulder onto the Lord's shoulder. How many know we've got plenty of boulders to roll on the Lord? Amen? Plenty of boulders to roll on the Lord. I saw a little something last night on Blue Planet. I'd never seen this before. There's this little crab. I don't know what it's called. It's the weirdest looking crab. And he eats sand. He just eats it, and he eats it, and he eats it. And as he eats it, somewhere in his mouth, it begins to build up. And what he's doing, he takes all the nourishment out of the sand pebbles, and the ones he can't digest, he builds up into a ball, and then he throws the ball over like a burden. He just throws it over, and it keeps going. And they showed a picture where all these crabs were doing that, and they filled the beach with all these little round balls that they couldn't use. It was amazing. I don't know, look it up, Google it or something, but it's really, really incredible. They just kind of spit out what they don't need. I think sometimes we need to do that with our burdens. We need to take what we can use from a disappointment and then spit out the little balls, the little weights, if you will. And then what was amazing is when the tide came in, it washed all those balls away and they were gone. And I thought, Lord, that's what I'd like you to do with my burdens. It's just wash them away. Amen? Use what you can. Even disappointments can be valuable lessons for God's people if we will commit them to the Lord. Number two, we need to commit our past and our future to the Lord today. We need to commit 2020 to the Lord and say, Lord, there's nothing I can do more about 2020. It's gone. It's over. Thank God. It's done. And there's nothing I can do about it. My mistakes, and I made a few this last year. You made some, I'm sure. There's nothing I can do about that. All I can do now is commit it to the Lord and say, Lord, it's in your hands. But what I can do is, looking forward, is I can commit that to the Lord as well. Father, I commit this coming year to you. I commit my actions, my attitudes, everything that I am, I commit to you, Lord. And I pray that you would guide me and walk me through this coming year. I haven't heard one person, now maybe it's been out there, but I haven't seen it on the news or anywhere. I haven't heard one person say anything about a New Year's resolution. Isn't that strange? Every year I hear them, but this year I haven't heard one. I don't know if I haven't been listening. I don't know what it is. But what I have heard is people saying, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. The news interviewed a guy on the street the other day. I watched this yesterday. Maybe you saw it. And they were interviewing in a park different people about anticipation of 2021. They asked this one fellow, they said, what do you anticipate in 2021? He says, here it is. Get ready. He said, for the next 2 days, all I know is I'm going to take as many naps as I want to anytime I want to. And after that, I'm going to go back to work and I have no idea what it'll be. I have no anticipations for 2021 except I'm going to take a nap as many times as I want to, as often as I want to, for 2 days, because he was off work and he could do that. That was his outlook for the future. I have a little brighter outlook than that. I think the nap idea is a great idea. Matter of fact, some of you may be napping right now, even as I preach. Maybe online there's some folks dozing off right now. Some of you remember back in the little building, the sermon I preached where I put myself to sleep. I'm not kidding. I was preaching. I looked at the clock. I was preaching, and all of a sudden I looked at the clock. It was 10 minutes had passed. I have no idea what I said. I was sleeping standing up. It's pretty bad when a pastor bores himself. Yeah. Thank you, Rosa. I appreciate the support. What about the future? I don't know about the future. I can't foretell the future. But I know who holds the future. And I know who holds my hand. And that's why I can make a commitment to him. Thirdly, we have to commit our hopes and our fears to the Lord today. There's a Christmas song that talks about the hopes and fears. We have to commit our hopes and our fears. The hopes for the future, we have to commit to him. If they don't come through, Lord, help me not to be ruined by disappointment, but I do have some hopes. and I want to commit those to you. But I also have some fears. Now, I know what you're saying. You're, in your mind, you're saying, you know, you shouldn't fear. Fear is not of God. And I know all that. I know all the things to say. But it sure seems to me that Jesus said a lot about it. And so did the apostles. And it was usually, fear not, be not afraid, be not afraid. Which tells me people just generally tend to do that. So don't beat yourself up if you have some fears. Just don't let fear control you. Fear is, never let the tail wag the dog. Amen? And that's what fear likes to do. So we can have some concerns and call them what you want to, but I have some. But I have got to commit those to the Lord. I've got to commit them to the Lord. I just got a text early this morning, and one of our pastors is seriously ill. I want you to pray with me that God will touch him. Amen. In a very powerful way. One of my big concerns is our churches and our pastors and our district, and also our community. But the fear can't grip me from doing, or other pastors, it can't grip them from doing what God's called them to do. And one thing is for sure, we cannot let fear grip the church. We need to be cautious, we need to do everything we can, but we can't let fear grip us. And my friends, we cannot let fear grip our nation. We cannot let fear grip our nation. We need to rise up in the spirit of the verse that Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Amen? Amen. So we have to commit those to the Lord. All right, it's easy to preach, it's easy to say. How do we do it? Turn with me, please, as we quickly close the message to Psalms 37. Psalms 37 has been a real help to me through the years, not only in ministry, but also in my personal walk with Christ. It has no doubt been a blessing for you. The entire psalm is wonderful. It's really a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. But I just want to choose verses 3 through 7. And to me, this is a way that we walk out our commitments. The commitments we make. Now, you may have a lot of other things you want to commit to the Lord. Maybe you're going to make a new commitment to your marriage or to your husband or wife or to your children or your grandchildren. Maybe you want to make a new commitment to in the area of your finances or a new commitment in the area of your job or a career, whatever that is, or school, whatever. But how do you carry out that commitment? Well, these are things that have helped me. Number one. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. What do we do after we've committed things to the Lord? Number one, we have to trust in the Lord. Amen? How many has heard the word, trust me? I mean, no, that's dangerous sometimes. Trust me. Trust in the Lord. Once we've committed something to God, we have to trust Him. Let's let God be God. Amen? Let's let God be God. A couple years ago, I had a root canal. Matter of fact, I've had two. And I had a root canal down here, and they put a crown on. I was eating something a couple days ago, and the crown fell out. And so now I've got these roots here that have no nerves in them, so it wasn't painful, but it was awkward. So I called the dentist. And I have a wonderful dentist, and they said, sure, we'll get you in tomorrow. And so I think it was Wednesday, I went in and took the crown with me, and he took a look and said, oh, piece of cake, no problem. We'll just go in and we'll just pop those things out of there. I said, hallelujah. And the little gal that's his assistant, she attends one of our local churches we had visited, and she was doing the sucking and the watering and the and here they start, and all of a sudden, I hear him say, this is a tough one. And then they visit a little more about the music playing and what they did for the weekend. And he goes, this is really a tough one. All the time that, you know, it's rink, 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 rink. I hope I'm not making anyone sick. But I kept saying, I trust my doctor. I trust my dentist. I trust my dentist. Then he brought out his chainsaw, and that really bothered me. Now, I'm exaggerating now, but he did. He said, I'm going to have... And I heard the young lady say, do we have the... And she gave the medical thing for it. What it meant was reciprocating saw is what it was. And so he said, yeah, we're going to have to cut this dude out of there. And so he's cutting it. Half an hour later, he says, there it is. It's done. You're good. And he heads for the other patient. And all through that experience, I kept saying, I've got to trust my dentist. I've got to trust my dentist. What I wanted to do is get up, because there was no pain. I wanted to get up and say, let's just forget it, okay? How many know sometimes with God, it may not be comfortable, but you've got to trust the Lord. Amen? And so the end result is, it's fine, and they'll put a little bridge on it, and I'm good to go. Trust in the Lord. Number 2, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Once you've committed something to the Lord, you have to begin the delighting stage. Delight yourself in the Lord. Father, this coming year, renew my commitment to worship. Not just at church, but at home and in my car. Renew my commitment to worship. Put on my Christian music and begin to worship and recommit myself to worship and to your word and to reading your word and to enjoying the presence of the Lord and knowing that I can have an encounter with God anywhere as long as God and I are there. Amen? Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord. Begin to delight in the presence of God. Teach it to your children and to your young people that there can be a place where they can delight in the Lord. Number 3, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll your way to the Lord and it shall come to pass. When you commit something to God, it doesn't always just happen just like that. Sometimes, and the reference in verse 6 is that it's going to come as the light. There's an indication there of the sun coming up and then it working its way and working its way. And then it says that justice will happen at noonday. Noonday is kind of the symbolic gesture of the answer. The answer. Noonday is coming. And some of you have committed things to the Lord and will commit things to the Lord. And it's going to take a little while before that thing works itself out. But know this, God is working on your behalf. Amen. And noonday will come. The noon of the day will come. The sun will be at its brightest. And God's going to say, all right, here it is. You've committed it to me. I'm going to bring it to pass. Praise God. We can trust that to the Lord. And then number 4, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patient. Patient? I thought we agreed we would take the word patient out of the Bible. No, we didn't. It's there, isn't it? Wait patiently for him and do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Lord, my husband and I committed something to you on the same day, in the same moment at Landmark Church. He got his, I didn't get mine. What's going on? Now, don't call him an evildoer. God's working on both your behalves. But we have to be patient. Rest in the Lord. When we commit something to God, we need to learn what it is to rest. To rest. And to be patient. We don't like to be patient. But it's important that we understand patience. Because patience, the Bible says, will have its work. It will have its work. If we let it. If we let it. If we let it. What do you want to commit to the Lord today? If you're watching online, maybe there's something you need to commit to the Lord today. If you're listening in the parking lot, maybe there's something you need to commit to the Lord today. Maybe just the fact that you need to commit to Him, your willingness to trust Him. We don't know what this new year holds, but I believe God does. And I believe somehow God will bring beauty out of ashes. I've got to believe that. And that's my hope. Amen? So bow your head for a moment if you would. If you're at home, bow your head for a moment. And let me pray for you. And while I'm praying, you commit something to the Lord today, would you? I invite you to do that. Commit something to the Lord today. maybe a number of things. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for the Word of God that's so powerful. And it speaks to us today of commitment. And when we think of communion, we know that your commitment speaks to us, Lord, as you went to the cross. Nothing wavering. So, Lord, let us commit something to you right now. Nothing wavering. Just commit it to you, Father. I don't understand it, but I commit it to you in Jesus' name. All across this building and homes that are watching and cars that are listening, I believe people are committing some things to you for this coming year. And I say, Jesus, honor that commitment and come and give them peace, give them rest. Help us to trust you. Help this to be the finest year the church has ever known. Help it to be the finest year any of us have ever known. Because we put our trust in you and we committed to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We make that commitment to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're physically able, would you just lift a hand or arms to the Lord and say, Father, I commit myself to you today. I commit my own body and life for you today. I recommit my life to Christ, to follow you no matter what, no matter the disappointments, no matter the discouragement, no matter the challenges, I recommit myself to you, Lord. I will be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. You will be with us. You will guide us and you will lead us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming to church. God bless you. You are dismissed, and look forward to next Sunday being with you. Just have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. God bless. Thank you.